Good evening, everyone. And along with this good evening, I make the aspiration that the wisdom that arises from listening, reflecting, and meditating on the teachings will grow and flourish. Before listening to the teachings, please give rise to Supreme Bodhicitta, which is that for the benefit of all beings, infinite in numbers, space is vast, that one will practice listening, reflecting, and meditating on the teachings in order to attain the level of Buddhahood.
Tene talam je chute de la ka tang bo den ba ye chung kor parpan sinyi me pe chung kor tama lekpar number se be chung kor ji to dan dor du chi kyo na ya par sa bai.
I think it would be good to begin this evening with a teaching on the three turnings of the wheel of Dharma. The first turning of the wheel of Dharma, which taught about the four noble truths, and the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, which taught about the lack of characteristics, the absence of characteristics, and the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, which teaches about excellently and in detail making distinctions.
Denba yen dunga ji denba kunjong ge denba gokpe denba lang ji denba namba yer.
There are four noble truths. The first one is the noble truth of suffering, and the second is the noble truth of origin, and the third is the noble truth of cessation, and the fourth is the noble truth of the path.
Tene dunga je denba ye sabate sepa khamsom korwa kangdo chi jang tene dunga le mande person pare.
It's said that wherever one is born within existence, within the three realms of existence, desire form and formless realm, one will not escape or transcend suffering.
Deyantene tanda kamsom khowa kangdo chinayang dunga je dunga hi sawa te chorwa dunga ngonjur bare jurwa dunga hi sawa chorwa deba so tene dunga len jurge re jon do gre chapan do je dunga hi sawa Never leb, pumbung a lama tamum, drop at some ni donga le mandeber somewhere.
To look at the first noble truth, there are three basic kinds of suffering. The first kind of suffering is called the suffering of suffering, and it has to do with the actual feeling of suffering, what you experience as suffering. The second kind of suffering is a suffering of change, which means that happiness turns into sadness. And the third kind of suffering is an all-pervasive suffering, and that comes from merely having taken on the five skandhas. By the mere fact of being born, basically, one is subject to suffering. So why is it that suffering is taught first? And suffering is taught to have the very nature of suffering. Samsara is taught to have the very nature of suffering, so that one will become weary of it, one will get fed up and want to put an end to this. So first there is this weariness with suffering, and then one desires to liberate oneself from suffering. So this is the reason, these are the two reasons why suffering is taught first. So we don't need to talk a whole lot about this, because most of you have probably heard a lot about the suffering of samsara, and not only that, you probably have a little bit of experience as well. So once one has discovered that the true nature of samsara, the real nature of it, is suffering, then those who have prajna, who have wisdom, intelligence, then they will look for the cause of the suffering. What causes the suffering? So that is the second noble truth, the truth of origin. Where does all of this trouble come from? And by looking with our intelligence, we discover that it comes from karma, and it comes from our mental afflictions, what are called the kleshas. So Chandrakirti.
Dharmakirti.
Gonda. Tene chapedi Pramanavartika. And his text was the Pramanavartika. And he said the following of. If one realizes the cause of something, then one will look for what is opposite to that, or literally what is not in harmony with that. So for example, if you realize then what the cause of suffering is, you will look for what is not in harmony with that, i.e. what would be a remedy for that suffering. So there are stages here. First, one sees that samsara has the very nature of suffering, and then one finds what the cause of that suffering is, and then one examines to find out what the remedy for that cause of suffering is, and one then engages in the practice of that.
Tene kunjong seje de karasana danzen dan marek bala tinte tene yur yidong wala chakpa yidomong bala dama la sopa nyomo ba tamche somare nyomo bala tene kovar chesi je le mandava na sopa sapare kovar chesi je le la tene tene donga mandava na sopa nyomare.
So, to look now at the second noble truth, at the origin of this suffering, how does this, what are the stages of this, how do we unpack this? So, the cause, the ultimate cause of our suffering is clinging to the self, self-fixation. And what happens then is we look at something, once we have this fixation on ourselves, this ego clinging, and then there are objects which are pleasant that arise for us, and we grasp onto that. And the other cause is ignorance. So it's and a definition of ignorance is clinging to the self. So they're sort of synonymous. So when one is caught by this kind of self-clinging and ignorance, then when a pleasing object appears, we get attached to it, cling to it. And when there is something that's not so pleasing, we turn away from it, we feel aversion to it. And from this, bringing things close into us and pushing other things away, that from that comes then all of our mental afflictions. That's what causes all of our problems. And the mental afflictions then, so the first step was ignorance and mental clinging. The second step was then taking something and tossing something else away. The third step is then that all the afflictions come from that. And due to these afflictions then, the next stage, we accumulate the karma that brings us to rebirth in samsara. And on the basis of this rebirth in samsara, we experience suffering. So that's how you get from the origin of suffering, which is clinging to a self, to suffering.
Do donanda donga ji denba kunjong ge denba ni je korbe jotan ge denba re korbe jombe denba.
And in brief then, the relationship between suffering and the origin of suffering is that of effect, which is suffering, and cause, which is the origin.
Dene gokpe denpa tang, sompa gokpe denpa de yeba lanje denpa denpa. Gokpe denpa seje de tanda dame tope hirap ji dene donga nyumong tang jepe nyebu se de donga nyumong tang jepa trabam sebam gokpa la godin segre.
So how does one understand then that the third noble truth, which is the truth of suffering, and it one uses one's prajna, one's intelligence or wisdom, which realizes no self. That's then, of course, the opposite of this clinging to the self that was the cause. And one analyzes to see suffering and to find out what its remedy is. And in this way, one comes to the transcendence of suffering.
Then in Gopa Dhamma, Siji de Karra se Trava Sona, Dunga Ti Jo Nyumong Dhan Cheba Seba Re Sena Dikri.
So if you would ask what's the definition of this third truth of suffering, then you could say that it is the exhaustion, the total wearing out of the cause of suffering along with the mental afflictions.
Tenen gokpa denpa hite, tenen gokpa denpa thomdo tang. Gokpa denpa la gaba tang troba chong na, tenen te jo lamje denpa re lamje denpa hiko.
So once one knows what this wonderful result is, the end of suffering and all the mental afflictions, then there's a desire to attain that. And one thinks, one gets excited about this. This is wonderful. Wouldn't it be great if I could do that? And then you ask yourself, well, what's the cause then for this? And one comes to the fourth noble truth, which is that of the path.
Tene lanji denba sejete, ten namba sanje belola, kanza ka dame ba the chuj dame ba nire, dame ba ni hite, tabe ni hite, ten gombe nyamsa lame, dame ba, monsum the tona, ten lamre.
So what is this fourth noble truth? Well, in the Buddhist teachings, one speaks of two kinds of self, the self in relation to an individual or a person, and the self in relation to phenomena. So knowing these two kinds of selves and what their absence then is, so knowing the two kinds of lack of self or two kinds of selflessness, one develops certainty or confidence in the view that teaches this kind of no self. And one then, having developed the certainty, puts that into practice and one meditates. And through that, one comes to directly realize the lack of self in a person and the lack of self in a phenomena. And that is the path.
Kunjong power sao, Gopa on the sao, Lam Jula temper sao, somebody, Tamba Sanchez.
And the Buddha said then, in talking about these four noble truths, four lines. The first is one should know what suffering is. Two, one should give up the origin of suffering. Three, one should make manifest the truth of cessation. And four, one should rely upon the path.
Tetar denba ye tsover sungba senang kolo chungkor tangbola denba ye chungkor hisu.
And so this first turning of the wheel of Dharma is one that mainly teaches these four noble truths.
Tenen kolo nyeba chungkor nyeba te ka parpan senyi mebu chungkor sikri. Senyi meba sijite, senyi meba, rangyi meba, ngô meba, chukanyang denbar madroba, chukanyang denbar madroba sumbara.
The second turning of the wheel of Dharma, or sometimes it's called the middle turning of the wheel of Dharma, is called that without characteristics. Now what does this mean? It means that phenomena have no inherent nature. They have no essence. No phenomena whatsoever is truly established.
Deyang kolo parpe kongso topa hiram nyingbo le hiram nyingbo yinji ke le jor yore chirang so lo nyong yore pongpo nga po te da chang rang yinji tong par yang tak par jisu ta o song pare sogju pongpo, chorogu pongpo, dohi je pongpo, dozi je pongpo, nam hi je pongpo nga re Pompo ngate rangyin ji tongbar ta gogo do sombar. Rangyin ji tongbar ta, rangyin ji tongbar ten lembe, rangyin ji tongbar nyebe ngihi je gobar sombar.
The Heart Sutra belongs to the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, and you've probably read this many times. And there it said that one should see in the following way, that all the five skandhas are empty of an inherent nature. So that means that the five skandhas, which are form, sensation, discrimination, mental formations or formations and consciousness, that all these five are by nature empty. And so one needs to, one has this view, or having a view also means that you are certain to, you've determined that this is the way things are for yourself. You looked at it and you said, you've analyzed and you've come to certainty that this is the way things are.
Rangin ji tongba si ji de karasana pombo nga drop tsan ni dene tangbo ne rangin ji tongba ne re ma do tangbo denba drop ji se denba de hek de tongba tongba chor song ba ten ra wo ma re pombo nga bo drop tsan ni dene ngo wo ma do ba rangin ji tongba ne tsu.
Now, what about this being empty of an inherent nature or being naturally empty? What does this mean? It means that the five skandhas are naturally empty. The very moment that they come into existence, they are empty. The very instant that they appear, they are empty. It doesn't mean that in the beginning they are somehow truly established and there's something really there, and then something comes along and destroys that existence. It was never there to begin with.
Meng dabi yetela, meng jik takpa telan chunsa sigre. Tsinyi dan chunsa nyire.
Laso?
Tsinyi de meng dabi yere, chunsa de mengre.
Laso? Now, to look at this term being without characteristics, all phenomena have, from this perspective, two aspects. One is their name, and the other is what that name is applied to. So what the name is applied to or imputed upon are the characteristics. So there are various characteristics, and on top of those characteristics you put a name. So the characteristics could also be said to be called what illustrates, and the name then is what is illustrated. Or you could say the characteristics are what are pointed to, and the name is what points them out.
Bena tsagi sikpa tsenyi re ming dabi yire me heba de ming den chunsa sikire.
For example, you can have the characteristics of being hot and able to burn something. So those are characteristics of a phenomenon. And what we call that, what points to those characteristics, is the name fire.
This is the Konde Ji Chu Tam Che La, Dene Tseni Yam Daki Na Tsofa Yore, Dela Ming Na Tsofa Takwere, Dene Daki Te Ranga Ngovi Madropam Tseni Ji Madropare.
Ming
madrupa to le lao yore, daigin tenye madrupa, ming dabi yet.
So all the phenomena of samsara and nirvana, they have, there are many different characteristics, there are many different, or another way of saying that is that there are many different bases of imputation, and there are just as many different kinds of names. So it's easy to understand that a name is not truly existent because it's just something that has been put on top of something else. What's more difficult is to come to see that these characteristics which the name is given to also are not truly existent. And that's what this vehicle teaches. So it's called the vehicle of no characteristics, or that goes beyond characteristics.
The name Jigden Pen Jugdo Zova, Leka Japakab So, Mengdan Daki Soso Segemare, Mengdan Daki Jigdon Trotin Jugre, Jugdo Zogre. The name Heba Kapso, Mengdan Daki Soso Se, the Hego.
So, when we are out in the world working, then and we enter into things and and move away through and then so forth while we're engaged in our worldly activities, we mix together the name and what it's been imputed upon. So that's the way we work with things in the world. We take the name and we mix it together with something and we think that's one thing. However, when we're analyzing, and that's okay, because we have to do that in order to be able to operate in the world. But when we're analyzing, it's important to be able to distinguish between the two. For example, a young child, a pre-verbal young child, sees many different bases for imputing names, fire and so forth, but it doesn't know the name. It hasn't gotten to the stage where it mixes a name together with its object. And gradually, as it gets educated and socialized and so forth, it begins to mix together a name and the object. It begins to learn how to think in a conventional way. So, for example, when I, consciousness, will see shape and color. And shape and color are a basis for giving a name to something. But it doesn't see the name for it. The I consciousness doesn't see a name. It's the conceptualizing mind, our intellect, that create names and mix them together with an object. And that's the way they see. So actually, the conceptualizing mind doesn't see the real object. It sees the objects mixed together with its concepts. So in technical language, it's said that the visual consciousness sees concrete or individually characterized phenomena, and that the conceptualizing mind sees abstract things. It sees generally characterized phenomena. So the visual consciousness sees the basis of imputation and doesn't see the name, and the conceptualizing mind mixes together the name with the object and thereby doesn't see what the visual consciousness sees, which is the direct perception of the object.
Manga basung pare.
Oh, wala.
Te ting ting re. Ma mangbo lo le.
So in the Heart Sutra, it said that phenomena lack characteristics, that they are unborn and unceasing.
This is not any bad diagrams in the Madhubar Sumbara.
So that's been a discussion of how the basis of imputation is not inherently existent.
Then the Tabo Ransin, the Madhubar Sumbara, the number lower, a great drop sugar. Then Kinji Shavan to Oma Jinle, Da Dan Yen, Wunda, Da Ran Yin Ton, the Chikwata.
She was Umala Jupiter Ravala. So from the Madhyamaka Alankara by Chandrakshita, he expressed a similar thought of to what we just said, that self is not truly existent. And it's possible to, he said it's possible to establish this through reasoning, and this is the reasoning that comes from Chandrakshita's text. And he said, self and other, these things Rangjin Duni Chepa Dang?
Ah.
Rangjin Duni
Chepa Dang Tama.
Oh, Chepa Gonda. Rangi Yigi Lo Shigimindu. By their nature, are free of being a single thing or many things. And because they have no inherent nature, they are like a reflection. So things, meaning can also mean like concepts of self and other, these things by their very nature are transcend being one, a single thing, or many things, a multiplicity. And since they are free of that, then they resemble a reflection.
Tela tajur ko na sananga ngobo nam chujin rang yin je tropa me de chek tan tam rang yin len de ba se te ra wa pe te zung yin ye.
So one can put that into the form of a reasoning, sometimes called a syllogism, that has three parts. And the first part is the subject of that reasoning. And here it is all inner and outer things or phenomena. That's the subject. And what one states about it, the hypothesis, is that they do not exist inherently. That's the second part. And the third, the reason is that they transcend being one or many things. And the fourth part, I forgot, there's a fourth part to reasonings, which is an example that illustrates them, and that is that like a reflection.
Lakpa chik chik re samna lakpa de chik mare chakhe hajang toma yore chik mare chakhe toma yore toma trabe jomse inda kar re chakhe toma yoba tela yang chakhe treba cha traba se na chakhe traba de yang madrupa se na toma yang madrupa re de se na chik ta toma rang yinlin de pa re chik ta toma rang yinlin de pa se na te cho tam je rang yinji me pa re pe kar re Zungyi da malam, malam, joma, zungyi, lonyi, tabre.
So how does this reasoning work of being beyond one and many, or being beyond being a single thing or a multiple thing? Well, if we take the example of a hand, which we think of as being one thing, we say, well, this is my hand and it's one thing. But if you really look at it, it has many different parts. It has fingers and the palm, and then you can look into the fingers and they have, you know, you have different sections in the knuckles. You look in the knuckles and you can keep dividing down. So the first example of thinking that the hand is just one thing when actually it's many parts shows that it's not one thing, right? It's a multiplicity. And then if you look at those, the multiplicity that it is, all these different parts, they again can be divided into more parts. And those can be divided again into more parts and so on. So you come to very, very subtle parts, and they also then finally don't exist. So you keep dividing it and dividing it until you get to parts that are so subtle that they no longer exist. So in this way, with this reasoning of being beyond being one thing or many, it's shown that all phenomena have no inherent nature. And what's the example for something like this? That's a dream, an illusion, a reflection, a movie.
Tāpī yomā lāsopā yendō, yomā lāsopā nam, rāng yīngyā mātopā yendō, tēnī khuāndē jī chū tām jī chīk tām tōmē rāng yīngyā bā sēnā rāng yīngyā mē pārā.
So the example, if you think about an illusion, well, it's not something that really exists, isn't there? Something there, but it's not really there. So it, you can't say it's one thing, and you can't say it's many things either. So this not being truly existent or not having an inherent nature is like that. It's like an illusion or a dream. So all phenomena then of samsara and nirvana are said to be beyond one or beyond being many.
Tene sanje yang rangan chenye je madroba de. Namhi rangan chenye je madroba yendo, yehi yang rangan chenye je madroba de.
So then we can extend this reasoning, and we can say, for example, samsara is not established as having a self nature through possessing characteristics. And you can also say then the same thing about nirvana. Nirvana is not established as having a self nature through possessing characteristics. And again, you can say that about sentient beings. They are not truly existent, having a self nature through having these characteristics. You can say the same thing about the Buddha. You can also say the same thing about consciousness and also about wisdom. None of these are truly existent with an inherent nature through having some kinds of characteristics.
Tetar ta rangin sinyi je madropa konde ji chu tam je rangin sinyi je madropa sinyi meba rangi meba keva meba ngo meba tembe sena tinu chongkor papala sinyi meba chu chongkolo sebare.
So like this, not being established through having these characteristics, it is said that all phenomena are like that. And that's the main teaching of this second turning of the wheel of Dharma. So synonyms for being without characteristics, as we just saw, are being without an inherent nature, being unborn, or without an essence.
Tenem kollo somba de lekpar number seva chungor sombare. Lekpar number seva sijite kunda yewan yondo je somje tonsor sete sombare. Tonsor je che che par sete somba se na lekpar number seva.
The third turning of the wheel of Dharma is that which analyzes well the various aspects. So what are those aspects that are analyzed and that it's called the three natures? And the three natures are called the imagined nature, it's the first. The dependent nature is the second. And the perfect nature is the third. And there are modes or ways of being empty in relation to each of these three that are distinguished or divided out. And that's why it's called the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, which distinguishes well the aspects. So the first nature is defined in the following way. The imagined nature is said that it does not exist for the essential nature of mind. And not only that, it is only imputed by conceptualizing mind. And the dependent nature, of course, it refers to a situation of dependence. And what is it dependent on? Well, this refers to the arising of phenomena that arise supported by or relying on or dependent on causes and conditions. So when the causes and conditions come together for a phenomena to arise, there's no way that it's not going to arise. It has no power, no independence to stop itself from arising. And the same applies to its cessation. When the causes and conditions are no longer present for it to be, then without its wishing to, it ceases. There's no, it's a choiceless situation. If you take the example of a flower, then its main appropriating cause is a seed. So the seed is there, and then the various conditions that are necessary for that seed to grow, such as water and fertilizer, and earth, and so forth, when all of those are present, then whether the seed wants to sprout or not, it is sprouted by these various conditions. That if there are no obstructions that come in the way. So there can be obstructing situations that will harm this process. Once the causes and conditions have come together for something to happen, there are things that can interfere. But if there is no interference, say maybe like a hailstorm or something, then choicelessly this seed will turn into a sprout and continue that path of growth. And the same applies to our mind. When the causes and conditions gather for us to experience suffering or for our minds to be disturbed, then that's what happens. It's a choiceless situation. And that's why it's said that these situations of suffering and being disturbed or upset belong to the dependent nature. And the same applies to anger. When the causes and conditions arise for anger to flare up, why, it will. And if you think like this, you'll see that all concepts actually depend upon the gathering together of causes and conditions, and they in that sense they belong to the dependent nature. And the true nature of this concept that we just saw in the dependent nature, the true nature of that concept is the perfect nature, the third of the three natures. And one says that this is naturally present, that it is excellently established, that it is without artifice.
Then the Kunda Yeon Yondrup Somte, Samsan Jeloso Yang Kunda Yeon Yondrup Somje Chuke Yore, Yendong Lola Yang Kunda Yeon Yondrup Somje Chuke Yore, Tela the name Lobjong Sena Himjong Mambozoya Yore, Samsam Jin Sinji Somjin Josota, Yendong and Sinji Somjin Josor Lachever Sigurd.
The Three Nature Theory of the imagined, dependent, and perfect natures, one finds such terminology within two schools of Buddhist philosophy. One that's called the mind-only school, the Chittamatra school, and the other within the Shentong school, the empty of what is other to it school. So these two schools both speak of the three natures. However, there are important distinctions to be made between how these two schools understand the three natures. So this is something that one can study and do research on for a long time.
Malam je me dan chotra so yang tapa madropa ma se thanyi toya rang yin je madropa
kare tin ne se na min duwa
ha
thani de yang madropa
thanyi ta da rang yin je madropa
maso
madropa se je ma rang yin je madropa
Then we said there were three different ways or modes of being empty in relation to these three natures. So to look at that, the first one is called the imagined nature. And what one says about in Buddhism, there's the concepts of the two truths, the ultimate truth or the genuine truth, and then the relative truth. So these concepts then will be playing through these explanations. So am I talking too fast for notes? Is it okay? So now in relation to the three natures, there are three different modes of being empty. There are three different ways that emptiness works in relationship to these three natures. So in relation to the first one, the imagined nature, for the imagined nature, those phenomena do not exist ultimately, or one can say for the nature, true nature, the mind, they do not exist. And they also do not exist on the level of apparent reality, or sometimes it's called conventional reality. So in those, from those two perspectives, the phenomena that belong to the imagined nature do not exist. And what would be an example for these? That would be, for example, fire and water within a dream. So one knows that the phenomena, the appearances, whatever arises in a dream, ultimately are not existent. And also, they don't exist conventionally. They don't have an effect. You can't drink dream water, and when you wake up, it's not there. So these phenomena neither exist ultimately nor relatively. The phenomena of apparent, of dependent reality, a dependent nature, sorry, the second nature, dependent nature, they do not exist ultimately, but on the level of apparent reality, they have a certain existence. This is different from the previous. And the perfect nature is naturally present or naturally existent. The perfect nature is said to be ultimate reality, and therefore they say it exists or has is present as ultimate reality. So you can put that in the form of a reasoning. The subject of the reasoning, three parts again, the subject of the reasoning is the perfect nature. And what you can say about it is that it exists on as ultimate reality. Why? Because it is ultimate reality. Synonyms for the perfect nature are the ultimate, that which is excellently established, that which is without error, or that which is spontaneously present.
Then you drop lunch to drop at the you drop lower treme, tonkin, turn them to you in danger, madomba, soon drop you in danger, madomba, last will be here to you.
And then if we look at the mode of being empty, in relation to the perfect nature that is spontaneously present, it's said that it is empty of incidental stains, that which is not a part of its nature, but it is not empty of spontaneously present ultimate qualities.
This and then some don't sort of say the person like what number seven.
And like this, because of this third turning of the wheel of the Dharma makes these very clear and subtle distinctions between the three ways of being empty, it's called the vehicle that excellently distinguishes the aspects, and the aspects are these ways of being empty in relationship to the three natures. So I often receive questions from people about, well, what are the three turnings of the wheel of Dharma, the first one being the Four Noble Truths, and the second being without characteristics, and the third being analyzing well all the aspects. And so this evening I gave you a brief explanation of them. So if you have doubts about this, then please ask questions.
Yeah. So,
It's on, yes.
Rinpoche?
Oh, you're very close to the speaker.
Oh, they're
hold
getting feedback?
Hold
okay.
Close to your mouth.
All right. I have two questions. The first is, if all phenomena have no inherent nature, possessing no characteristics, how do different things manage to be so consistently and reliably different? I think you answered the question already by talking about causes and conditions. But even so, I still have a question. How can different causes and conditions come about? How can anything at all be different if there is no identity?
Ngami ngatsu chagir wala chikpa mare ngami ngatsu chagir e
chini namai natso charbe junsen kares
re re teni marangi chikshina di junsen di gyudan kenle kebe gyudan ken ngami ngatsu yura wala teni gyudan kenle kebe gi len nang na kale nang na teni marangi ta kari desena gyudan ken ngami ngatsu chagir e
Judan Chin de Colo Palpa Capso, Jujin de attended Nansan Re. Mulam de Nama Nats of what they tended Nansan in Bajendo, Colo Palpa Lola, Chutam de tended Nansan Re. Caras and Nava Junsin Demba Tripomobo Chica Mavre. Kanga, Jujin, Judan Chin and Tembe tended Nansan, Kanga tended Nansan. Penna trained and Travel. Namka dava te chotoma la tama la sherva nahi, tene kanga tender nangsare, tender sare. Tinjan jung mado ba chunga yoba maimba. Tesetuni maimbe chunga yoba main also.
Tinjin do our chu, you know?
Tinjan jung mado pe chunga yoba maimba. Tesetuni maimbe chunga yoba maino. Gombo lupe omatawa sherva somebody. Tinjin do our chu. Tinjin den jong matope.
Matope?
Chunga yoba mainba.
Yoba. Maso?
Tesetuni mainbe chunga yoba main.
Maso? Tini rooting it to hako with the keeper. Tene dila tene karesena tene ka chu kaka chagire
ngami na so so chaba de tende nang sa re ma to de jön there is demba tropa me bare
na so
jön sen kar ye me ba sa ba me ba so chu tam ji yimi sa da re
na so
ye dan sa ba demba tropa jön te de ro cha re
re
True Kandaji Nana Yedan Demba Trubi Yedan Sava maybe Senna Tene Madruba Yimi Sada Ote
Diako Yoroshi Yekonda, the Morangi Kari de Seni Maparwala, Morang de Kanyan Mapadrava Kogirwala,
Kanyan Mapamari,
Tene de Seni Mapa, Kanga Seni Mapa, Yena, and a Chikpa Drabo Chagirwala, Seni Yomarwala, then a Chikpa Drabo Chagiri, then a Did any morangi keper, chugi, keper coming out of your wallet, and did so canichagiri.
Keper not so what the so jujin la ra lepare, jujin yam paca la ra lepare, paca yam le la ra lepare, tamte sabar and ginger madrubero.
That's so, Judici. So the it's true that the difference arises then from the variety of causes and conditions. And the variety of causes and conditions comes from the variety of habitual patterns. And the variety of habitual patterns comes from the variety of karma. And all of these, however, are not truly existent. There is not one phenomena that one can say is truly existent. And then he spoke at length about that, in saying that all phenomena are, according to the middle turning of the wheel of Dharma, the second one, that all phenomena are mere appearances arising from interdependent arising. So it's just like in a dream where there are various appearances that arise, and these all depend on the coming together of causes and conditions. However, there is not one appearance that arises independent on something truly existent, something that is truly existent. There is no truly existent thing. There is just the mere appearance that comes from these gathering together of causes and conditions. It's like when there are no clouds in the sky, the reflection of the moon will appear in water wherever it is. And in a verse from the Mula Madhyamaka Karikas of Nagarjuna, it is said, not included within arising interdependently, there is not one phenomenon. And therefore, it is also true that there is not one phenomena that is not empty.
When Sorva Deva Dunga Nili, Sorva Dunga Chesi Juchi Madavana Sova Yere, Juchi Teso Yare Ni Chena Madopare, Sorva Deva Chesi Chiang Juchi Na Sova Yere, Deyang Tene Juchi Chin Chiki Chiba Mare, Juchi Te Dayang Tava Ni Chena Yinja Madopa.
So if, for example, one looks into happiness and suffering, what are the sources, where do they come from? And one sees that they come from causes and conditions. And if one analyzes the cause and the conditions, one sees that they're not truly existent. It's not, and also one can see that there is a great multiplicity of causes and conditions that come together to produce an experience of happiness or suffering. It's not just one cause or one condition. So if one analyzes in great detail and very subtly, you come to see that they neither happiness or suffering is truly existent.
Tene kunzo to juchin tende sheba kapso jike je nawa na so ba lele somare kunzo sheba kapso lele soma ina ya tenda sheba kapso tene kunzo je juchin je le na so ba te da jang yang ta param ton ta par ma ro pare.
Then to turn again to these concepts of the two truths, it is said that on the level of apparent reality, there is the operation of interdependent arising, of causes and conditions gathering together to produce something. And from this worldly point of view, then there is karma and so forth. However, from the ultimate point of view, all these gatherings together of causes and conditions are not truly existent. Ultimately, they're not established.
Then Ishram Nyingpo le marikpa me, marikpa seba me sungare. Marikpa ranglang o mebe sena marikpa seba yang me sungare. Then Ishram Nyingpo le ntose madrupa sena le seba yang me. Then Tendre Chonyi de Thama Gaishare gashe me gashe se pa pa do ya me do se ten de chu ni le ja ko ba re.
One can also apply this to the interdependent arising is used in two different contexts here. There is the interdependent arising one finds in the teachings of Nagarjuna where it's equated with emptiness. And also, there's also interdependent arising that one finds more in the first turning of the Wheel of Dharma that deals with the 12 interdependent links or interdependent arising in terms of these 12 links, one leading each to the other. So to look in both these contexts, the first one then, where interdependent arising that is equivalent to emptiness, one finds in the Heart Sutra. And there it's said that there is no ignorance, and then there is no exhaustion or effacement of ignorance. And that's because ignorance itself has no essence. So ignorance itself doesn't exist, and so of course there would be no exhaustion of something that didn't exist either. So that's a way of one way of understanding it. And then if ignorance doesn't exist, ignorance is the first of the six links of interdependent arising. So if ignorance doesn't exist, then the karma that comes from that doesn't exist, and the mental formations don't exist, and so forth. And one can go all the way around this wheel to old age and death, and they also then don't exist. So when you eliminate the first of the 12 links, there's a domino effect that goes all the way around the samsaric circle of the 12 links.
Tena marek ba rangin ji yo na tene gashi par do kanga rangin ji tropa den rup cha kare marek par rangin ji me pa ngo me pa imbe se na marek par le su ma tham che rangin ji me pa gashi par do kanga tene chu tham che rangin me pa che me par sa ba jo yu to te marek pa ma do par.
So the main cause of everything is this ignorance. And if ignorance really existed, if it were inherently existent, then everything would be inherently existent all the way up to aging and death. But actually, ignorance has no essence. And so because ignorance has no essence, then one can go around the circle to old age and death and see that all of the links do not have an essence or an inherent nature.
Tene konjob don thurchur chebe kap zum kholbe tawa marek pare marek pa te arangi je traban rawo so marek pa le so ma gahi par do kanga thurbe nam do go ngor demba traba nangi yebe se na tene demba yaban rawo so pare ta te le tambo pa le so chara.
So, in working with these 12 links, explaining them to beginners, and also explaining how one becomes deluded, then it's taught that the root of samsara is ignorance, and that leads all the way around to old age and death. So, this is explained from the perspective of conceptualizing mind that is deluded, which takes these various links of to be truly existent, to be something real. So this is how it's explained in the beginning to new people.
Tene marek ba demba droba ndawo she. Marek ba le sung khol ba demba droba. Donga chenpo yo ba ten dawo she koro.
So in the beginning, when one is talking about how one becomes deluded on a conventional level and keeps taking birth in samsara, in working with these 12 links, it's said that this ignorance is explained so that it seems to be truly existent. And why is that? Well, in the beginning, if it weren't taught so, one wouldn't develop confidence in the fact that this is the way things actually happen to one, and one say, oh well, it's not truly existent, and so, you know, I don't have to worry about this. So in the beginning, ignorance is taught as if it's truly existent, and the suffering is presented as truly existent and horrible and all the rest. And also, for example, the Buddha, another example of this kind of phased teaching is in relationship to the self. So the Buddha first taught that the self exists. And then he said the self doesn't exist, the second. And then in the third, he said it's beyond existing and non-existing. So this then is something that one needs to study. It's not something that you don't sort of jump to the third level and go from there, but you start working through the various stages and study these positions and work with them.
These are not tangbo da ye par ke lang ne che wa ngap se de le jum de la tini yi chi che go ba.
So the purpose of teaching the press that there is a self is so that one would believe in past and future lives and believe in karma, which works through cause and effect. It's the sequence of cause and effect. So there has to be a self that's going to experience all of this. So you say, there is a self. And then in the second stage, it said that there's no self. And how is that taught? Well, when one is clinging onto a self, one clings to it in relationship to the five skandhas. They're the object that one's looking at when one fabricates this idea of a self. So it's taught that those five skandhas don't truly exist. And then it's also taught that the conceptualizing mind that grasps onto a self, so that's the subject side of things, that also doesn't exist. So in this way, by eliminating both the object first and then the subject, ultimately it's said that the self doesn't exist. It's defeated, this concept of the self. So that is the way it's done in the second turning of the second stage. And then it's possible that one could become attached to this thinking, oh yeah, I've got it now, there's no self. And then you become attached to that. And you think that you get attached to non-existence. You get attached to it being nothing at all. And that, of course, is a problem for practice. So then the third stage teaches that self, neither exists, doesn't exist, does not both exist and not exist, nor does it both neither exist. Ultimately, this shows that the nature of the mind is free of any kind of mental elaborations or any kind of complexities. And another quotation from Nagarjuna in the Fundamentals of the Middle Way, the Madhyamaka Karikas, where he says, the concepts, they should be in quotes, you know, but the concepts empty, quotes, or non-empty, where would one find peace in those? So this is a way of showing that the true nature of the mind, the genuine or ultimate reality, transcends existence, non-existence, both existence and non-existence, or neither of those, thinking it might be something outside of those four possibilities. When one is working with these teachings of the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, then it's important to distinguish three phases. So then the three phases relate to three different purposes of the teachings. So one is to counteract unvirtuous activity, what is not wholesome. And the second is to counteract grasping onto a self. And the third is to counteract grasping onto some view, some idea of how things are. So it's very important to distinguish between these three, and if you do, then the teachings will not seem contradictory. You will see them as just being different phases of working with different ways of grasping. So while teaching
then drawore om log la this nekap som jar kore
la so teni di drawore wala
so
the first of these three actually resembles the teaching of the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, where past and future lives are taught, and karma, which is cause and effect, the result of cause and effect, is taught. And in conjunction with this, then, the existence of a self is accepted, because there has to be, at least conventionally, a self that has these past and future lives, and a self that accumulates karma, a place where karma comes back to. You accumulate karma, it has to have some place to come back to. So in this first phase, of a self is there in order to turn one away from negative action. And then when one gets too attached, one's concepts get too attached, clinging to this self as being something truly existent, then the next phase kicks in, and the next phase is tells you that the self is not truly existent. It counteracts that idea of a truly existent self. And so there are many, many reasonings within the treatises of the Madhyamaka teachings that show that these two kinds of self that we saw earlier, the self in a phenomena and the self in a person, are not truly existent. And the third one, which was to reverse the clinging to the view, that is to counteract all mental elaborations, all complexities, all fabrications that one's mind might make up, thinking that things exist or that they don't exist or they both and so forth. All those sort of mental gymnastics that one's mind might go through, those are not truly existent, and they are reversed through this third phase.
Kepa
Kepa Kepa Nepa Misa.
Kepe.
Kepa, oh, the year.
Kepa, Togeva.
Togeva,
Togeva, Mare, Kepa. Kepa, I looked up with here at the Deva. Togeva, Kanga, Kepa, Mare.
Oh, that's all.
Oh,
Kepa,
Kepa. Kepa,
Kepa.
Kepe, you mean the name, you're about the map, la name, you get my
name. That's all, Hakosum. There are a lot of homonyms in Tibetan, so we have to make sure you got the right one. There's another verse from Nagarjuna, again from this text, The Fundamentals on the Middle Way. Saying existence, that is the view of permanence. Saying non-existence, that is a view of nihilism. And therefore, the experts, the skilled ones, do not remain in either existence or non-existence, the views of existence or non-existence.
Then Nelong Tatola, Yabarkelana Tatari, Miji Kelana Chetare,
that's all.
Then Nelong Tatola, then Kelin and Degover, the Oma Tanjojolo.
So, if one says things exist, then one falls into a view of thinking things are permanent or eternal. And if one says things don't exist, one falls into a view of extinction or nihilism. But neither of these apply to the ultimate nature of the mind. The ultimate nature of the mind is beyond any of these kinds of assertions of existence or non-existence and so forth that one could make about it. And this kind of statement is mainly found within the Prasangika school of Tibetan Buddhism. It's sometimes they're called the consequentialists. So within the middle turning of the wheel of Dharma, it's important to distinguish these three phases. And now we get back to your question. So the example is like in clear water, or like a mirror where there is no dust and it's a perfectly clean mirror, one's face will appear. But that face that appears, the reflection of one's face in a mirror or in pure reflective water, has no inherent existence. There's no real face in a mirror or in the water, reflected in the water. So, however, even though there's no real face there, there is a face that appears, and you can look into that face, and you can see all the things you like about it, and what you don't like about it, and so forth, the qualities and the faults within it, and it's the same way when one talks about ultimately that things do not exist, but on a relative level, on the level of conventional reality, there are the experiences of bliss and suffering and a whole variety of things that arise for us.
Deyang kaju ju trup top jarwa goi sang pen dongor jele ten ren khala dongor je kap so zembe nyokwa tangwa tang nyokwa tang se de cho nyokwa tang zembe nyokwa tangwa tang ju jin zungi kharwa tang
Also?
Tamen dolin hiba som. Tenden kalan dongor yisum. Dekabs tende chaba somber. Zimbe nyoba tang sijete cho nyoba. Chonyoba lezuni abu shagamado. Zimbe. Nam denbari kembe nam dogen zemba de nyokpa tanwa zozo cho nyokpa tanwa zembe denbari kembe nyokpa tanwa chola jojin zungni khaba tan jojin la ten na zungni na zo ba khagare jojin la ten na zungni na zo ba cho tanwa la zungni ma da ba na zo ba khagare zungni de zo rang yin je ma do ba re rang yin je ma do na ya thamin do lin khi gare zang bo de ngai ba de zungni ji ten ni क्यों तो यूं दें जंगबंग ने बा कांगा दोलिंग ही करे मेलोंग जोनी तो चल ता ने डोंगे क्यों तो सो ट्रमा तो सो से जामा जो ते ने खादो खादो तो सो रंगे डोंग ना तंग तो लोग कांगा जो ही करे चौथो तो सो मार्फो जो कांगा तो करे रंगे में बा लते ना जो तो करे से बर ते ठामें दोलिंग ही करे Jujin Jizuni Kabata Rangi Minaya, Tamun Dolin Higre. Gedek Malan Higre. Zangin Dolin Yeres. Tate Gogre Chirang. Tendan Kalanokot.
There was a great Kagyu Siddha called Gutsangba, and he wrote, sang a song that was called Flourishing, the Eight Flourishings of a Lance in Space. So, each of them dealt with a different aspect of the philosophy or the view. So the verse that dealt with interdependent arising said, grasping, and this is grasping into things as real, which is like the sediment, when that is clarified or settled out, then the next line says, the reflections of the causes and conditions will arise. And one will know then, in a subtle level, what to take up and what to reject. And that, and the fourth line says then, that is flourishing the lance of interdependent arising in space. So this is a very subtle explanation of what interdependent arising is. So here in the first line, when it talks about the sediment or what is impure in the water, which is grasping onto a self, grasping onto things as being truly existent, so that is like the sediment in the water. And at that point, things can't be reflected in it. So when that's purified, then one has the second line, where a whole variety of reflections that come from various causes and conditions arise. However, they're not truly existent. And nevertheless, even though they're not truly existent, on a very subtle level, one can know what to cast away and what to take up. So one knows what is positive, what is negative. And to go back to the example of the face in the mirror, you can look on your face and see that you've got a smudge on your cheek and you need to wash that off. And if you're a woman, you know where to put rouge and how to put on your makeup and so forth. You can, even though this reflection isn't truly existent, you can still work with it.
Then I am pitched so chung chung to la musum gun doin la tena, dava zuni, the sunken doin the dava shagre, te tendon shanso chigre, ye yegor jam and drona, me yebe, sonne dava, tola yegor jan dogre, much younger jan and drona, me yembe sonne, younger jan and dogre, chick dead, then a dead degre, then rabote, then he make a tatso jijin zuni shavare. That jijin zuni say, Tender Nangsanji, Tender of Jims in the Carre, make a tassel drossel Latin, Tender Nangsanji, Tin Dava, Yegor Japa, Yungor Japa, De Deva Somdo, Tender Urava.
And there's another way of understanding why things arise in different modes for us, and that's because we have different ways of viewing things, and these different ways of viewing things then create differences in what we see, actually see. And an example for it is three people who are standing on the edge of a lake, and they're looking at the beautiful reflection of the full moon in the lake. So one of these people walks around to the right, and that person says, well, the moon goes around to the right, because he's walking around the right, and that's what he's seeing. And the other person walks around to the left and says, well, the moon was moving around to the left. And the third person just stood there. And he said, well, the moon doesn't move at all. So these are three different ways of seeing. You had three different sets of eyes, and they saw three different things. Because they were doing three different things. They had three different viewpoints.
Yeah.
So that's an example of interdependent of arising in relation to different ways of viewing things. Another way of looking at interdependent arising and how various different phenomena arise is if you take one person and then you ask someone that doesn't like them what that person is like. And they'll say, they give you all the negative parts about him. It will be not a pleasant description of that person. Then you ask a friend what that person's like, and you get a very different description of hardly the same person here. So, and if you ask the father, they'll say, oh yeah, that's my son. And if you ask the son, they'll say, oh yeah, that's my father. So again, the person is different depending on who's looking at them. If you're a bug inside that person, some kind of bacteria, then that's your home. And if you're a wild beast, then that person is food. So there are many different ways of looking at one thing. And that also is because of interdependent arising. And if you belong to the mind-only school, you would say then that these different ways of looking at things are due to habitual patterns, the fact that we all have various tendencies or imprints that are within our mind that cause us to perceive in different ways. If you belong to the Madhyamaka school, you would say that it's due to the power of interdependent arising that these various ways of seeing come about. And the Shantong school, which is another school of Buddhism, says the same thing, but they get at it in a bit of a different way. So there are many ways of looking at these questions, and it just shows how profound the Dharma is and of how it's possible to study it for many, many lifetimes.
Jig Dembare, Yenda, Zumbare, Sena, Yam, Dobre. This Sena, Taiki Tumon, what day? Rang Yinja Madoba Imbesena, Chutam Chen, Senior Madoba Sigrid. taza tumongwa te mune karre chik denpa re yenda zenpa re la thugwa re
So that's why when one has, for example, one object that everyone is looking at and you ask, well, what's the real object? You can't really say. There's just different perspectives on the same thing. You can't really say, well, it's truly existent or it's not truly existent or it's like this or it's like that. All phenomena then are like that.
Dekhsa. Tene oman jo pa la chambap long la yeda na lo yang se. Chho chek la yeda ga na tha thong la so ban ro wa rek to gun thong san mada ba mang bu yo par sam bare. Tene oman lo se chim jo zo de te la ya dun tha mang bu. Tene lo jong se. Bo je luksor chek la chwa pa ja gre chwa pa ja na yang te dun tha mang bu ja. Chwa pa ma ja pe ke cha che na yang mang bu che ya yo. Tene khe pa su khe chod mada wa mangbo yo pa.
In the Madhyamaka Avatara, which is a text of Chandrakirti's, he discusses how water, for example, is seen by the hungry ghosts to be pus and blood. And so one could take that one topic and talk about it for weeks. Or if you were following the Tibetan scholastic tradition where debate is engaged in, you could debate on it for weeks. So you could, otherwise you could just discuss it for weeks.
Tene jikting je sagong di ting lam pe na ma chenpo jarpo am yang na phe sitin ta ba ma chenpo chik le yang dene ma ha chang mang bu zang bo do ha chang thon kakye dukyan thong kare te ngane kar re zang bo re ngay ba re se na tha che thuk ma marwa
va
tha che thuk yo
So if you think about important people in this world, people who are famous or important, like a king or the president, and you talk to various people about how they are, well, you get quite different opinions. Some people like Clinton and some people don't, for example. So ultimately, then, you can't really say it's one or the other. It ultimately transcends all of these kinds of imputations.
Then Rabo Yina Chutam Jeje Nelog Yang Tele Samotamore.
And so that's why it's said that the nature of all phenomena is more profound and more subtle than these kinds of dualistic propositions one makes about things.
Then Kolo Parpa Kapsa Ton Tambar Chu Tam Che Nelok Tongbani Yinayang Kunzob Don Tona Natso Yubijum Chin Tabasavare Tilin Dodikibai.
So that is my answer to the question about in the second turning of the wheel of the Dharma all phenomena are ultimately empty but on the level of apparent reality one sees a whole variety of them so it seems like we've come to the end of our time for this evening Tene konso gom gogi mendoor.
Gogo mogo.
That's all. So, those of us who like to meditate with an object, with a focus, then should meditate. And if you don't like to do that, then you don't have to meditate.
Magom seje te la mayeng magom segre yeng madhe magom sejere. Te gom sor samothamo dengre.
Mayeng magom
nika. Mayeng mogom. Mayeng pada mogom pade. Gom samudha thamore.
So actually it's said that not meditating and not being distracted are a very subtle form of meditation.
Tene gomba lagana mekpa mandava na sofa yere mekpa chegle sente ko.
So if you like then to meditate with a focus, then there are many different kinds and you can choose what you would like.
Tene mikpa la maga na mogomba gogodo tan thamar pan rawo cha na dig mare tene maying magom.
So if you don't like that kind of meditation, then you do non-meditation, which is not falling back into being an ordinary being, but it's not being distracted.
In a way.
Resting in non-distraction.
Yeah.
Tamba kuni do barjo, Munjur lembo kuye trashi, Yenla tukyo songi trashi, Tata treme tukye trashi, Jarve kusong doji trashi, Nendere nimo delik, Tinde nime kongyang delik, Nimsen tato delik, Kunjo somje trashi.
Lama kong lama dava shukare. Tene kong payer ji yomo kana la yomo la samje rambu yava shukare. Yenda lama bu yoyere. Tene kong tanda dopa kaji nyamle mambu naware. Yang nyingma nying deke nyamle mambu naware tamle yuware. Tene yang dunjom ling beterka. Yang nyamle mambu naware. Tene cheran so yang. Rupa kaji chukor lagabu yavata. Yang ingdik lagabu yavata. Yang dunjum ling beter ka tundu lagabu na. Kong yame yabu yare, salin yang shira yabu yare. Yeah.
So Lama Dawa, who is here with us this evening, is from Yomo in Nepal, which is a hidden valley up to the northeast of Kathmandu. And he has practiced for many, many years in retreat. And he is very skilled at the practices of the Drupa Kagyu, of the Nintik practices, and also of the Dujum Lingpa, Tersar, the treasures of Dujum Lingpa. So we're very fortunate to have him here. And he's very skilled in the knowing the practices, the pujas, the rituals that go with all these three traditions. So if you have questions about them, you have a very good opportunity here to be able to ask him. And he's staying very close to here, so it's a close opportunity.